Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, the superiority of Christ to all the other prophets. Various religious groups honor various men or women as prophets or prophetesses, and they usually esteem one as God's supreme messenger above the others. For example, Judaism holds to Moses, Islam holds to Muhammad, Mormonism to Joseph Smith, Jehovah's Witnesses to Charles Taze Russell, or Judge Rutherford, depending upon what school of JWs you're with, etc., and they hold these as supreme, or the supreme prophets over all the other prophets. However, Hebrews chapter 3, 1-6 asserts and shows how Jesus is supreme above all other prophets. One of the offices of Jesus is that he's a prophet. He's a prophet, he's a priest, and a king. I don't know if you know that. Those are the three major offices of Jesus: prophet, priest, and king. But it's not mentioned in this passage that he's a prophet, but in comparing him to Moses, who was the greatest of the Jewish prophets, it's quite a comparison that's there. Let me read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews chapter 3, 1-6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken afterwards. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. This is one of those passages where it really, really pays to be Jewish and to understand Jewish scriptures, because this whole reference to house and faithful and house and everything has to do with a very specific Old Testament passage of scripture, and it makes this passage really come alive. The author of Hebrews introduced Hebrews 3, 1-6 by exalting Jesus in relationship to God's people in verse 1. He addressed his readers as holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling. And this address recapped the Hebrews 2 presentation of Christ, showing the readers were involved in the high privilege of being invited to participate in the future dominion and joy of God's King and Son. So the author of Hebrews wanted his readers to consider this apostle and high priest of their confession. It's interesting, I think if you put the names of God together in Scripture that refer either to God or to Jesus, there are 365 different titles. Jesus is one for each day of the year. I wish someone would put them together in a day calendar and you could go through each one. But Jesus is here called an apostle as well as a high priest. Now, why? The term apostle lightly recalls Jesus, who was sent by God as supreme revealer of the Father in Hebrews 1, 1 or 2. The word apostle actually means one who is sent forth. And Jesus was sent forth from the Father to reveal the Father to man. And then Jesus is our high priest, and it recalls his role in Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18, which shows that he was a faithful and high priest, and he has suffered being tempted, and he's able to help those who are also tempted. Jesus, as a great high priest, is a one who deals with us as our intercessor in regards to our sins and also to our weaknesses and our sufferings. The beauty of the high priest is God the Father is not our high priest. God the Father sits in the role as God, but Jesus operates not only as God, he operates as our mediator, one who intercedes for our weaknesses and for our sins as well. Well, following this introductory exaltation of Jesus, the author of Hebrews related how Christ was faithful to the Father who appointed him, just as Moses had been faithful in all his house. Now, that's the catchphrase, verse 2, faithful in all his house. That is a very important phrase because it recalls Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. And it's a truth that's there, and it's held in Judaism and in any Jewish cult that it would affect the readers of Hebrews, that Moses was the greatest of God's mortal prophets. And to get a picture of what's going on, I'm going to go back to that passage and spend just a little bit of time there, because the background here, you have to understand, you have to think as a Jew in order to appreciate what's going on. Now, in the context of Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 5, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that Moses had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. this Ethiopian woman would have been a black woman. Now, in our day and age, we would think maybe this was a reference to a racism, but that's not the case. The Ethiopians were actually the upper crust people. And if you married someone like that, you were seen as being a little uppity. And Israel had just come out of slavery, unlike the Ethiopians, who had been free for some time. So they spoke, they thought, they came to Moses and said, who do you think you are? Just because you're married an Ethiopian woman, you feel that you can lead all Israel. We're your brother and sister. Who do you think you are? So they were trying to bring Moses down. They weren't critiquing him because of a racial issue at all. And verse 2, notice, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken by us also? Now the Lord heard it. I'll tell you what, that's quite a phrase. The Lord heard it. That causes me to be very relaxed. If you're in a position of leadership and someone's critiquing you and you haven't done anything wrong, remember the Lord hears it. The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, and this word can be humble, above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Now there is a reason for that. He had tried to redeem Israel. Israel had rejected him, so he had fled, gone to the backside of the wilderness. He was there for 40 years. So when God finally called him, he told God, please get anybody else but me. I don't want to do this. Moses was the least pushy man around. He would have been tickled pink if God had chosen someone else to lead Israel. But he chose Israel because God said, you're going to lead him, and I'm not going to take any no for an answer. So Moses is in the position as a very meek man. It's interesting that God often will choose a person for oversight who just as soon not do the job. Not because he doesn't like God, but because he has no self-agenda. There's no personal agenda involved. That's the kind of leader that God had in this man. Now, verse 4, and the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, saying, come out, you three, under the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. This is just like, I remember my mother saying, okay, Don, Paul, and Steve, I want to see you all in the kitchen right now. I knew that was trouble. Especially if it was Donald Ray, Paul Richards, and Stephen Roger. I mean, with the middle names, that's even worse. Now we're all in trouble. Anyway, the Lord says, I want to see you three right now. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. See, he wants Moses to hear this as well. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. In other words, I'm going to relate my truth to him in an indirect manner. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or in face to face, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In other words, the general form of the Lord will he see. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, God is saying Moses is the most important prophet of all of my prophets. And that's why I speak to him just like I speak face to face, like I'm speaking to you now. Other prophets, I don't speak that way. I speak either by a vision indirectly or I speak by a dream. But Moses is so important. He's my servant. He's my number one servant. And I speak to him face to face. So since that's the case, why were you not afraid to talk against him? See, God's taken it personally. Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he left, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. This indicates that Miriam was the ringleader. See, Miriam was the older sister. She was the one that watched over Moses when he was in the little crib or the ark and everything out there. Aaron was younger than Moses, apparently. And she'd been the ringleader on this whole thing, and she'd led Aaron in this uprising. So the Lord's going after her, the ringleader. She was leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, alas, my Lord, I beg you, do not lay the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one who is dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech you. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. This is a pretty severe discipline that the Lord's lowering on Miriam. And verse 5, and Miriam was shut out from the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought back again. So, that's the background for this. And every Jew would know this, because as a Jew, you had to read through the books of Moses, or they were read through you three times before you got to your bar mitzvah or your bas mitzvah, which would be either before you were 13 as a boy or a girl. You knew the Old Testament scriptures kind of like the back of your hand, because you were taught through them three times. So when this man says, for this man was counted worthy more glory, when he says, this man was faithful unto him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house, every Jew knew that he was referring back to that passage where God, in referring to Moses as faithful in all his house, was the most important prophet in all Israel, because God spoke to him face to face. And the house in that context isn't the house of the tabernacle. He's talking about the house of God, the people of God, and all of God's household. So, in Numbers 12:1-5, God had called Miriam, Aaron, and Moses together to address the sin of Miriam's and Aaron's rebellion against the authority of their brother Moses over the nation Israel. Well, in that meeting, God explained how, contrary to other prophets with whom God revealed his truth by way of visions and dreams, Moses, who is faithful in all my house, was the only prophet of all of God's in all his house, of God's people, with whom God spoke face to face. For this reason, God asked Miriam and Aaron why they had not been afraid to challenge the authority of Moses as they had done. And of course, Aaron and Miriam are just speechless. This is God speaking to them in a very authoritarian voice, and they just quiet down. This is how a father, especially in that culture, would have approached some kids that needed to be jacked up or needed to be rebuked. They call them in there and have the meeting. Boom. It's a lot like we do today, except God is the one who's being in the father role. So God was so angry at such disrespect for Moses that he struck Miriam, the apparent leader in the rebellion, with leprosy as white as snow. Aaron then pleaded with Moses to remove his and Miriam's guilt, since they had acted foolishly in rebelling against Moses' role. So Moses prayed for her, and God healed and restored Miriam to Israel's fellowship. But it's interesting, God said, let her stay outside of the camp for 7 days. I want everybody to recognize that I have disciplined her. So she was publicly disciplined because she had publicly raised up in rejection of Moses' leadership. And this served to do God's will, because God wanted Moses to be the leader so that he could use Moses to lead Israel. So God had to correct this rebellion from Moses' own family so that he could continue to use Moses in front of the nation. That's why he's doing it. Now, Moses' greatness as God's greatest mortal prophet, seen in the one who's faithful in all mine house phrase of Numbers 12:7, invites a comparison of Moses with Jesus in Hebrews 3:2. So the author of Hebrews claimed that Jesus was greater than Moses, Hebrews 3:1-1a, and described the superiority in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 3b-6. Actually, he claimed that he was greater verse 3a, actually. I said 3:1a, but it's 3:3a. Jesus is more glorious than even the great Moses, in that though Moses was God's greatest mortal prophet, Jesus built God's house of people. This is very interesting. This man is counted worthy, verse 3, of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house is more honored than the house. God had said to Miriam and Aaron that Moses was the most faithful prophet serving in all his house. But Jesus, God's son, builds the house. He built Israel. He built, and in fact, he builds God's people today, the church. Jesus Christ in Matthew 16:18 said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Everyone who's here tonight has been built into the church by Jesus Christ, you and me alike. We were both saved by Christ. We were gifted by Christ. We were positioned by Christ in the church universal. And God has also assigned us a local assignment in the local church that we're in right now. This is all from God. And this is all under Jesus Christ. Now, since this house of God was also built by one who is God, according to Hebrews 3:4, the author of Hebrews implied that Jesus is God, making him infinitely superior even to the great Moses. For every house is built by some men, but he that built all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house, but only in the office as a servant of the Lord to tell of future things, a role that actually is mentioned in Numbers 12:7. Remember in Numbers 12:7, God referred to Moses as my servant Moses. The word servant is like the word slave. Moses was a slave. Now, he was the greatest of all God's slaves. But Jesus is God's son. The son has a higher rank than the slave. Now, that's very, very important. Moses, verse 5, was truly faithful in all his house as a servant, as a slave, for testimony of those things which are about to be spoken after. In other words, he's referring to the fact that Moses was a prophet of things that were going to come after, namely the Lord Jesus. But Christ as a son over his house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice into the hope firm to the end? So, Moses was faithful as a servant. Jesus was a son of God over God's house of people. So in view of this vast superiority of Jesus over Moses, the author of Hebrews writing to believers being lured by a Judaistic cult that held Moses as God's supreme prophet to leave Christianity for Judaism, urged them to hold to their courage and hope of which they boast in Christ. Now this has phenomenal application to us. You've got Islam referring to Muhammad as a prophet. Even Islam, they don't refer to Muhammad as God or God's son. But Jesus is God's son. The son is greater than the prophet. Jesus is more important than Charles Taze Russell, who I think was a false prophet of Jehovah's Witnesses. He was greater than Joseph Smith, who I also believe was a false prophet of Mormonism. Muhammad, I believe, was a false prophet of Islam. In fact, Muhammad's first visions he thought were from Satan, then later he changed his mind. They probably were. They probably were from the evil one. But anyway, Judaism holds to Moses, and Moses was a man of God. There's no question about it. But Jesus is greater. So God's greatest mortal prophet, Moses, a man to whom God spoke face to face, unlike his other mortal prophets, was only God's servant, only God's slave, where Jesus was infinitely superior as God, creator of God's house of the godly and son of God over his house, so we must exalt Jesus above all other prophets. So in application, may we firmly hold to the divine supremacy of Jesus Christ over all other true prophets or false religious prophets of all religions. For he alone is God's son and God, creator of God's people. Isn't it something how the book of Hebrews lays out in no uncertain terms the absolute supremacy of Jesus? I'm going ahead and going through this. I know that none of us here are buying into the cults now, but we need to know how to give an answer to everyone who asks us a reason of our hope. And since the cults and false idiosms and isms are on the rise, it's very important for us to get the book of Hebrews down. I'm also doing this especially for the children who are here because, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door all the time, and there are all sorts of false isms that are out there and constantly arising. The book of Hebrews answers it, and it does it in flying colors because it was written to get a hold of Christians who were tempted to leave Christianity for a cult. So it's a tremendous book in regards to the cult. So we need to hold firmly to the divine supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ.